What a blessed reminder of the blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Our text for this morning is 1 Corinthians 15. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. And our sermon this morning is going to be a little bit different. And someone asking me if you ever repeat yourself when you preach the same Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday sermon. So this morning we are going to be looking at what would be missing if Christ had not been raised from the dead. So what do we miss if Christ has not been raised, if the resurrection had not happened? So 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to start at verse 12. That's found on page 1142 in our black pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. But if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet, but when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is excepted from who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. And that's as far as reading from 1 Corinthians 15. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these verses together. But before we start our sermon, I do want to read one question and answer for you. This is question and answer 45 in our catechism. So Lord's Day 17 is dealing with the resurrection. This is what question and answer 45 says. How does Christ's resurrection benefit us? The answer is threefold. First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death so that he might make us share in the righteousness he obtained for us by his death. Second, by his power, we too are already raised to a new life. And third, Christ's resurrection is a sure pledge to us of our blessed resurrection. And as far as reading in the catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how central is the resurrection to our faith? How central is the resurrection to our life? How important is the resurrection of Jesus Christ to you in your daily living? If Christ had not been raised, if the tomb had remained sealed, what would be missing? How would your life change? Would your life be any different? Would people on the outside be able to tell a difference in your life, in your demeanor, and in your actions? What would be missing from our faith if the Bible ended at Luke 23 and did not include Luke 24? Well, without Luke 24, you wouldn't have the book of Acts, because as you know, the book of Acts is the continuing work that Jesus Christ did as the gospel spreads to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the world. So if Luke 24 didn't happen, the book of Acts would not be written, the gospel would not have been proclaimed to the nations, and there would be no good news. In fact, there would be no reason for you to be here today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the source of comfort and the power of the Christian life. So today we consider this theme: what would be lost if Christ had not been raised? And what has been gained now that he has? And our first point, then, we start with a thought experiment. Consider the implications if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, if there's no such thing as the resurrection, if when a person dies, that's the end, that's the completion. Does our church have a contingency plan? Although not ideal, could we as a church still function? Could we salvage some good news if Jesus Christ only lived and then died on the cross? If his life ended when he breathed his last? Well, his life would have been a defeat, wouldn't it? That would have been the end of the story. We can do this, the same thought experiment. Maybe you've done that in your own life. Well, what if I wouldn't have taken that job? Or what if I wouldn't have gone to that place? Well, if I wouldn't have taken that job or wouldn't have gone to that school, then I would have never met my spouse, or I would have never had this opportunity. Well, what would be missing if Jesus Christ had remained dead? Would your life be any different today? On Resurrection Sunday, would it be any different if Christ had not been raised? So Paul begins in verse 12, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if resurrection is impossible, then Jesus himself has not been raised. So if resurrection is beyond the shadow of the possibility, then Christ himself has not been raised. You see, what was going on in the Corinthian churches, there were some who were teaching that resurrection is a fallacy, that the only resurrection that Jesus is talking about, the only resurrection that Jesus brings, is a new change of life kind of resurrection, maybe a spiritual sense of a resurrection, but not a physical or a literal resurrection. So Paul is saying, if there's no such thing as a literal physical resurrection, then Christ himself has not been raised. Well, if Christ has not been raised, what are the natural and expected consequences? Well, first off, Paul says in verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, verse 14 says, then our preaching is in vain. The preaching of the gospel, the declaration of the good news, the spreading of the gospel to all the nations, the content of the message that the apostles were bringing to the nations, focuses on Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised. But if Christ has not been raised, then preaching is in vain, not just the content of preaching, but the power of preaching. The very power of preaching to change hearts and lives is linked to a living, raised Savior. But if Christ is still in the grave, then not only is the content that people have been telling you throughout your entire life, not only is that false, as we'll get to in just a moment, but there is no power in preaching to change you. All sermons are empty, are vain. They are nothing more than human wisdom and man's words. Because the cross and the resurrection is the power of new life found in preaching. So preaching without the resurrection is no better and no different than a lecture or a motivational speech. They can't change. They're empty words as they speak of a matter that doesn't happen, and they have no power to change you. Secondly, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. Not only is preaching, but preaching's change in you, which is faith, is also futile. Remember that faith comes from hearing, Paul says in Romans. How will they believe unless they hear? So when the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, preaching, and the change that is made evident in our hearts is faith, but Christ has not been raised, so not only is preaching vain, faith itself is vain. It's futile. What good does it do you to trust in someone who is dead? Dead saviors cannot save. What good does it do you to have a hope in the future when Christ himself did not have power over the grave? If faith is a dependence, if faith is a reliance, if faith is a grafting into Christ, if you are grafted into Christ and Christ is a dead vine, what happens to the branches? What happens if you graft a branch into a dead vine? It doesn't do you any good. It remains dead. So if Jesus Christ had promised, as he told his disciples again and again, I'm going to Jerusalem to lay down my life, to be crucified, and on the third day rise again, and Jesus failed to do that which he had promised, that which he said he would do, why would you trust in him? What reason could you possibly have in depending in Christ? Children, imagine for a moment that you are shipwrecked on some deserted island and your phone ends up being shipwrecked with you. You open your phone and you find out that this phone has been so waterlogged that it's useless. Phones that have no power cannot call for help. So it is faith in someone who is powerless, calling upon someone who can't hear you, does you no good. So not only is your faith in vain, your faith, your trust in Christ in vain, so also your prayers are in vain. What good did it do you this morning to wake up early, to bow your head and utter a prayer in the name of someone who is dead? The prayers in Jesus' name are prayers in someone who couldn't do what was necessary, who was defeated by the devil. Because death wins. The grave is stronger. The bars of the grave were able to hold Jesus in. So what good does it do you to pray asking Jesus for something he himself could not do and could not achieve? Jesus is not ever living to intercede for you. He is not praying for you. He's not pouring out his blessings. And added to that, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, he could not send the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is dependent on a living Savior. So not only is your faith futile, not only is preaching futile, not only are your prayers futile, you don't get the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Added to this, if Christ is still dead, then every pastor, preacher who has proclaimed the gospel of the resurrection has been lying to you. Paul says the same thing. Verse 14. The apostles, the disciples of Jesus Christ who became apostles sent to the world, guess what message they preached? They preached Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, the apostles are lying to you. This book, now we've been studying this in our evening series, the necessity, the sufficiency, the authority of this book is a lie. You shouldn't believe any word that is written here. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, everything in here is built on a lie. And everything I, your pastor, have been saying to you in the past 10 and a half years, everything I've said to you is a lie. You should not believe a single word I say to you if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead. Any pastor who preaches about the resurrection is a huckster. They're deluded. They're malicious. Every apostle, every preacher standing at this pulpit, nothing more than a liar. Maybe they're motivated by money or power or esteem, but they have some ulterior motive because they're not preaching the truth. if Jesus Christ has not been raised? Wow, this is pretty heavy. But it gets deeper. It gets even worse. If Jesus Christ's body is still in the grave, if you could visit a place in the Middle East and find the tomb where Jesus Christ's body was raised, or was laid and not raised, then you are still in your sins, verse 17 says. There's no such thing as justification. You are still in your sins. Sin is stronger. Satan is victorious. The grave's power remains unbroken. No payment for your sins has been provided and accepted. Without the resurrection, Jesus' death accomplishes nothing. No satisfaction has been made. You are still under the curse. And when you die, your soul is going to hell because you are still in your sins. Sin's power remains unbroken. But more than that, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then everyone who has died is lost. Verse 18. Those who have fallen asleep have perished, and they will remain perished. If you have a loved one whom you have laid in the tomb, in the grave, you've stood by the graveside as your loved one was lowered into that earth, and Christ has not been raised, I don't have anything for you. I have no good news for you. There is no good news for those who have died. Those who have perished are truly lost, are gone. Their body stays in the grave. And for those of you who are coming to grips with your own mortality, I don't have any comfort to offer. Death is the end. That's it. I'm sorry. There's no good news. And that's why Paul concludes in verse 19 by saying, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we are the most pitied of people. You have been deceived, congregation. You've built your life upon a farce. Jesus is dead. Your loved ones are dead. There's no comfort, no peace, no reconciliation, no justification, no forgiveness, no possibility for living faith, no resurrection to look forward to. In fact, the people of the world should feel sorry for us. As a church, we should be pitied by others. You are no better off than those who followed David Koresh in Waco, Texas. Our church is nothing more than a cult following a dead man built on a lie. You've been deceived. All your hopes, your tears, your sighs, your prayers have gained you nothing. In fact, Paul puts it this way in verse 32. It would have been better for you to live like the world. Why don't you eat and drink and just try to get the most, to suck the most out of life today, because tomorrow you die and that is it. There's no hope. As you can see, brothers and sisters, the resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. Without the resurrection, there would be no reason to come here today. There'd be no reason to put on your new dresses and curl your hair and take your family pictures. I mean, celebrate. You should have stayed home. Why did you come here? If Christ has not been raised, faith preaching, vain and powerless. Apostles, pastors are liars and deceivers. Sin and death remain unchallenged. Death wins. If Christ has not been raised, everything you've hoped for is vain, and the gospel has no good news. But praise God, there's a second point to our sermon. Praise God that we can come to verse 20 and read these words. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Everything we talked about in that first point, that thought experiment, the hypothetical, remains just a hypothetical. Praise God, Christ has been raised. Paul interprets that thought experiment with facts. Reality crashes in and changes everything. That gloom, that sorrow, that heavy weight that was on your shoulders in the first point has now been lifted up and chased away by the light of day. So then, preaching is not vain. Your faith is not futile. Christ's power manifests itself in regeneration as he produces new life in your heart through the preaching of the good news. You have been grafted into a living vine, and Christ's life flows in you and through you. Instead of being false witnesses, the apostles, they were telling you the truth, and everything recorded here in the scriptures is without error. The preaching you hear and that you've heard remains a dependable means of grace. Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised on the third day changes your life. You have hope for yourself and hoped for your loved ones whose bodies now sit in the grave, knowing that they will not stay there and in the end will be raised up and changed, glorified, made like Christ's glorious body. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a verifiable historical event witnessed by many. Verse 20 says he has been raised. It's not a question. It's not Paul saying, well, if Jesus Christ might have maybe been raised, he has been raised. He appeared to hundreds of people, giving convincing proof, even appearing to Paul on the road to Damascus. And since he has been raised, our present spiritual resurrection has been secured, and our future physical resurrection remains a certainty. Verse 20 says that Christ's resurrection is a first fruit. His resurrection is a guarantee, a down payment, securing the certainty of our future resurrection. His initial resurrection is a promise of a future and greater resurrection, the full harvest that will be gathered on that great and final day. Added to this, Christ, the living Lord, is now reigning and ruling. Verse 25 says, he must reign. He must have the victory. His enemies must be defeated, and his people must be saved. Christ must reign until all his enemies and our enemies are placed under his feet. God cannot lie, and his promises are sure and certain. Christ must be our living Savior. So let me ask you, have your prayers been heard and answered? Do you have comfort standing by the grave of your loved one? Do you have the blessings of the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart? Can you see the fruit of the Spirit working within you, where the old man is being put to death and the new man is coming alive? If so, then you yourself are a testimony, a living testimony to a living Savior. Our own Lord's Day 17 summarizes it like this. What does the resurrection benefit you? The Catechism puts it like this. What do you gain from the fact that Christ has been raised? Well, first off, your sins have been paid for, and you are now alive in Christ. The first benefit is that you are justified. You already now are justified. Christ has paid for your sins, and you have been granted his righteousness. You are justified. Secondly, your current life is being changed. You are being sanctified. You are being renewed. The sins that remain are being burned off by the Spirit, and you're coming to life in the image of Christ. So the second benefit is you are being sanctified. And the third benefit? The third benefit is that one day your body too will be raised. The third benefit is that glorification is a certainty, a physical resurrection where your body is changed and made like Christ. It is this truth that gives the good to the good news, that Paul was delivering of first importance. preaching Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Instead of being pitied by the world, we are to be envied by the world because of the blessings that are ours. We are not deceived. We have heard, we've received, we believe, we know what is true. Jesus Christ is not dead. His body is not in a grave. He has been raised, and he is now seated at the right hand, ruling over all and pouring out blessings upon us, his people. To conclude, there are certain events in your life that change the direction, that change the course of your life. We have that specific place or that specific time, that specific meeting where everything falls into place. So it is with the resurrection. What was needed by lost humanity is here provided. The resurrection changes the course of history, securing for us the blessings of God which had been promised. In order for us to have hope, in order for us to have good news, in order for us to have a reason to gather together here as a church, in order for us to have a reason to sing, to have comfort and joy, Christ needed to die and rise again. The refusal to believe in the resurrection may come from a refusal to believe that it's possible, because dead people don't normally come back to life. Others may deny the resurrection because of a lack of faith, saying, I need to see it to believe it, like doubting Thomas. It may seem impossible or absurd to fallen man, but without resurrection, all would be lost. The only good news a Christian has is linked to Christ, the living Savior. He died for our sins and was raised for our resurrection. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we have of knowing that Christ, your Son, has been raised, that all of our fears find the solution in the resurrection of Christ, that all of the promises of eternal life find their yes and their amen in Christ, our living Savior. So may we this day be filled with joy as we confidently believe and embrace this fact as a true historical event, that Christ has been raised and that we are no longer in our sins and death has been defeated, and that one day we too will be raised and made like Christ, our glorious and living Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.